Folks, how's everyone doing today? Welcome to the Tiny Gospel Radio Hour, brought to you live by Poolsville Presbyterian Church, deep in the heart of Montgomery County's Ag Reserve. We're glad to gather today. I'm Reverend David, your host and pastor for the next little bit, where we're going to settle in, listen to some good Jesus music, offer up some prayers together, center ourselves down in the grace of the gospel. And today we're especially going to be thinking about what it means to be community together, what it means to live out life one with another in community, and in specifically in the communities of the Spirit. So we're glad to be gathered here in this gracious place, virtual space today. I am particularly glad to be here at the church today. I'm in the interests of a more robust internet connection so that we don't end up having dropouts like we did last week. I am directly below the Wi-Fi at the church, which we've recently upgraded, so hopefully that's going to work a little better this week for us than it did last week. Before we get into our worship today, I would remind folks that if they want announcements and details about what's going on in the life of the church, make sure to pitch an email to me. I'm going to type that out now at belovedspear@gmail.org. Send an email to me if you'd like to be included in on our worship announcements, or if you've got prayer requests or anything else you'd like to present to the church, please feel free to let me know. That's belovedspear@gmail.com. One specific announcement I've been asked to convey today from Worship Elder Jane, who has produced our lovely diorama again for today. There was a plant swap yesterday as part of our community garden work. People maintained appropriate social distance. There was a good turnout, and all of the flowers and all of the plants that we had were shared with folks in the community. And our hope is that the money raised from that, which was about $250, will help go towards maintaining the life of our community as we do mission here. So that's our announcement for today. If you have anything else that you want to share, please do keep your eyes open for the eDove and email announcements, and we will roll from there. Let's settle ourselves now down into a little bit more worship music. We'll be listening now to "The Lord Is My Shepherd," Brother James Eyre. So let's open our souls to that peaceful music today. Was "The Lord Is My Shepherd," Brother James Eyre. Let's now focus ourselves in on prayer for today. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, there are so many different ways to come into understanding of you. There are paths of prayer and paths of service. Each of us bear different gifts, which you light up in different ways. Those different gifts blended together give us the blessing of beloved community as we together strengthen one another. In our difference, we are called to bear the same grace, the same spirit, and the same love for one another. But too often we choose to forget this, Lord. We choose to take our gifts and assume they are ours alone. We take the gifts and graces you have given us and make them reasons to reject one another, instead of taking our difference as a blessing. We turn it into a reason to feel superior or resentful. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget the path of grace that guides us to be the people together that you wish us to be. In the name of Christ, when we forget this, Lord, please remind us and forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let's now again go to some music. We're going to listen now to our own Monica Daly and Bill Mattis offering up Give Me Jesus. Thank you for that, Monica and Bill. It was Give Me Jesus. Let's now open our hearts and our minds to the hearing of God's Word in Scripture. Reading our Scripture for this morning is Elder Bill McDonald. Let's listen for God's Word in Scripture.
Good morning. Today's first Scripture reading is one of the most familiar passages from the Bible. It's Psalm 23. You're familiar with it, you might want to just say it along with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Our second reading this morning is from the book of Peter, chapter 2, verses 19 through 25. For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly. If you endure when you are beaten for doing wrong, what credit is that? But if you endure when you do right and suffer for it, you have God's approval. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your souls. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
We're at that point in what would normally be our gathered service, where we would gather the children around, listen to Jesus Loves Me, and we'd have a children's message. And as I've been doing the last couple of weeks, out front of the church, we have a collection of worship buddies, little stuffed animal toys who are our kids' company while they sit through worship. And digging through that stack of worship buddies this week, the one I was struck by was this little guy. He's a black bear. He's a little Thai beanie baby whose name, I don't know if you can read it if we get in close, he's The End. I think he was originally produced to celebrate the end of the production of Beanie Babies, but sort of a grim looking little bear. But right above The End, there's like this festive fireworks. So rather than thinking of him as a little apocalyptic bear, we're going to think of him as how we feel when all of this has ended, when we're finally out on the far end. Say hi at the end. He says hello. It'll feel good. It'll feel life-giving. It'll feel the way that the end of winter and the coming of harvest feels. So we'll fold him into our worship for today. There he goes, our little worship buddy. And we've also listened at this time in the service to different renditions of Jesus Loves Me. And because we're thinking about the end of winter and the coming of good, green, living things today, I'm going to play a version of Jesus Loves Me by a musician by the name of Junji Koyama. And Junji Koyama is a Japanese Christian whose notable skill is producing music from vegetables. So for today, we're going to listen to Junji Koyama playing Jesus Loves Me on a two-part pan pipe made of carved carrots. This is probably the first vegetable Jesus Loves Me that you've heard outside of listening to VeggieTales. So let's listen. Remember, this is being played on carrots. Let's listen to Jesus Loves Me. Thank you. That was, again, Jesus Loves Me, played on a panpipe made of carved carrots by Christian musician Junji Koyama. Christianity is a most entertaining faith. Now let's turn our hearts and our minds away from carrot music and back into scripture. Today's third scripture lesson is drawn from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Let's listen for God's word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, they spent much time together in the temple. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of everyone gathered, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the more common refrains I've heard over the past month plus is how everything is going to be changed by this pandemic. There is a new normal, or so many people I know say. We're not going to go back to the old normal. Normal is changing, or so we're told. And I find this, well, kind of irrelevant, because, you know, I've never particularly thought of myself as normal anyway. There were so many ways things used to be done I never quite got in the first place. Like the way our entire consumer culture was and is perfectly content to borrow from the future to fund the present. The assumption is the future is going to be great. You'll have more then, so just get what you want today. Borrow it from tomorrow. Just fake it till you make it. Get a line of credit, rack up loans, and you can do whatever you want whenever you want. Want a car you can't afford because they're all absurdly expensive now? Well, there are now 65-month loans you can take out. You want a house because it's nice to have a place to live? Well, houses just happen to cost 5 times more as a proportion of annual income than they did a generation ago, so there are mortgages for that. Want a college education? Well, that's 10 times as expensive as it was when your parents went to school, but you can take out loans for that and just pay it off for the rest of your life. Don't save. Borrow from the future. Live on the edge. Hold nothing back. And our culture tells us to do this, and because I am weird, I've never understood any of it. I don't understand the idea of borrowing from tomorrow because you never know what tomorrow is going to bring. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe tomorrow will be hard and you'll need to borrow from today for that. Having those emergency reserves, having savings, having something to hold on to just always made sense to me personally. Because I listened when my grandparents told me stories. Both sets of my grandparents lived through the Great Depression. They had seen things fall apart, and did they invest? Well, a little, but they didn't borrow a ton. Mostly they saved, they did. They lived below their means and borrowed little and viewed everything as valuable because you never know when the future you're counting on won't happen. It's something that we struggle to learn as a people. But it is how this little church has operated over the last near decade, building up a modest rainy day fund, because you just don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. That's not how we operate, though. And I'm not sure the pandemic, as I look at it, I don't know how we describe this time. Is it a challenging time? Is it a trying time? Is it a difficult time? All of those words apply. But it doesn't seem to change that much about us, not so far as I can see. We are still perfectly content to live borrowing from an uncertain future. That's part of the way consumerism shapes us. We are told to be self-centered. We are told to be consumed by our own hungers and oblivious to the needs of others. And what has amazed me as I've looked at the society around us is just how quickly and easily this culture of consumerism came apart. A just-in-time, get-me-mine, debt-driven culture might seem rich, but it's popped like a pricked balloon in a time of crisis. The idea that we should live life just on our own, without reserves that we share together, without a net, without safety fallbacks, it doesn't work when things get hard. Living life without a care for the storm that may rise, living life unprepared for tomorrow, living life unready for the struggles of neighbors and fellow citizens, that doesn't work. It's like that old classic fable of the ant and the grasshopper, one that I seem to recall one of my grandfathers telling me as a kid. You've got to be prepared for the tomorrow that comes, not dance and fiddle and play around, because then you'll be unready. And that is true for personal lives, but it's especially true as we order our lives together, because how we live together matters. Again, how we live together matters. So much of life is about what we hold in common, the shared time we spend together in our communities, in our towns, in our churches, or on this little planet that all of us inhabit. The ancients had a word they used to describe how you care for the common good, how you tend to the good that all have in common. It is our oikonomia, said the ancient Greeks. Oikonomia, which is the word oikos in the Greek meaning house, and the word nomos meaning law or rules. You've got to have house rules. It's nothing more and nothing less than the way we agree to live together, and how we ensure that living together in the same shared space, the same shared communities, the same homes, to make sure it works. And it's important, if we have a way of living together, that it work not just when times are good, not just when things are flush, but it also has to work when things get hard. No system that only works when things are easy is a good system. If you have a house whose roof only leaks when it rains, well, that's not a good house. If you own a phone that's made of glass so that it breaks every time you drop it, it really isn't a good phone. No, it's not. It is not, no matter what they tell us. It's not a good idea to have something that's so fragile it shatters. If you drop it, or if anything goes wrong. This morning we hear a tale of a community. A community that first gathered around the message of Jesus. And that community was far from perfect. For the last couple of months, our adult education class has been chugging our way through the Gospel of Luke and then on to the Acts of the Apostles, which is kind of the second book, the sequel to Luke's Gospel, written by the author of Luke to carry the story on past where the Gospel leaves off and ask the question, what's next? The Acts of the Apostles tells us that. And it describes for us both the spread of the early church and something of the spirit of the early church. And what we hear from the Acts of the Apostles is that this early church was very actively and intentionally oriented towards the care of every last soul who was part of that way, of that gathering. Both here and in Acts chapter 4, we are told that people in that first church did not focus on themselves first and foremost. They made sure that none in the church had need. And here we have church at the very seed of it, when it was passionate and energetic, but also when it was small. This is the very beginning, the most essential church. It's a different way of life. This idea that one needs to be concerned about the well-being, not just of oneself, but of all who are part of the way. It's a challenge living that way, because it's often not how our society works. It is fundamentally different than the idea of pursuing self-interest first and above all other things, and it's tough. Even trying it on a small scale is hard. If you're sharing everything in common, it's hard to get past the problem of our human tendency to be more concerned with whether things are totally fair to us rather than concerned with the well-being of our neighbor. It doesn't matter, given the state of the human soul, how much there is or how abundant creation is, if every thought in your mind and every word out of your mouth is how unfair it is that someone gets and you do not. Complaining about unfairness is the mantra of the selfish. And it's familiar. It's a familiar spirit as we fiddle over who gets the larger slice of the cake. Well, their slice is larger than mine. Grr. It's a natural human spirit to seek the self. And yet that's not the spirit we receive, not the spirit we see in Acts today. This community cared for one another. How are we to approach this passage from the framework of our consumer culture? Does it have nothing to teach us about life together in a culture and in a context that is radically different? And it does, of course. It does teach us. It's a value set that sets Christian community apart from a selfish world. In ancient Rome, this difference was one of the things that was noted. Ancient writers at the time of the early church, ancient pagan Romans, would often note to one another in their writings of the strangeness of Christian community. In a society that abandoned the poor or enslaved those who had fallen into poverty, the way that Christianity treated everyone was one of the things that made it so strong, that gave it such a deep appeal. They take care of everyone, complained one pagan Roman writer. That's why they have grown so fiercely. So what are we now to do with that spirit? The spirit we find in verse 46 of today's passage. That spirit is the one that should guide us. The idea that Christians need to do everything with glad and generous hearts. It's a state of being that models the most essential value of human relationship as taught by Jesus. We are to love our neighbors, everyone around us, as deeply as we love ourselves, and it's a teaching of radical abundance, one that turns us away from grasping and towards a new way of living together. It's that way of approaching life that's the measure of any healthy gathering of human beings, no matter how they choose to organize their life together. That is true for nations and for towns, true for Jesus folk. But what matters in life together is our willingness to recognize our connectedness to one another. And that this connectedness goes deeper than rules and systems. Our Creator has woven us together into the fabric of existence, though we can at times struggle to see it through eyes clouded with self-absorbed hungers, we do share this creation in which we find ourselves. In this life, which we hold in common, the gift of recognizing that basic unity is one of the greatest blessings of the Spirit. That life of mutual care and mutual support is the purpose of every Christian fellowship. As we move into a time that is challenging, remember that call on our lives together, and let that be so for you and for me. Amen. It's at this time every week that I remind folks that to sustain this ministry, your gifts, offerings, and donations are most helpful and are necessary, a part of our sharing in this common life. If you're interested in giving to the church, you can go to www.poolprez.com, and at the bottom of the page, there's access to a form which will set up online donations, or you can mail your check to Poolsville Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. That's Poolsville Presbyterian Church, P.O. Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland, 20837. Let's now settle in and listen to some music from the East Side Church of Christ in Austin, Texas. What we're going to be listening to, and if actually I can check in, can anyone there hear me? As we've got, I just want to make sure that we've got the capacity to hear out there. Are folks hearing me now? Hey, we miss you too, Kim. I just want to confirm before we go on into the next stage of our worship that I am audible. My stream says I'm still going, but in case we're having the same challenge we had last week, I just want to check in. We seem to be buffering a bunch. My feedback is letting me know that we're cutting in and out. I seem to still have a solid stream here. So I'm going to suggest that before we get into our sharing together of the Lord, what I'm going to suggest now is I'm going to end this video. So we're all going to leave church right before we do the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to start another stream. So what that's going to mean is I'm going to take us all out and bring back in again, which hopefully will reset our buffer here through Facebook, where I'm still seeing a good solid stream, but obviously that's not affecting what y'all are hearing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to end the video, and then I'm going to ask you to turn, and let's all join back together again as we share music and share this Lord's Supper together. So we're going to take a little break. then I'm going to restart it, and we are going to re-begin in just a second so that we have all this working all right. So I'm going to end the video now, and then I'm going to restart another one. That was the Holmes Brothers singing, "I Want Jesus to Walk with Me," which we definitely appreciate as we are walking through this new and technical time of challenge as we attempt to do worship and specifically to share in the Lord's Supper together. All of you have been invited to prepare elements for yourselves as we attempt to share this intimate community meal together in a time when we can't be together. So if you've had a chance to stop by the church and pick up one of your prepackaged communion meals, now's the time to go ahead and go get that. If you don't have one of these pre-made sterile communion meals and cups, take a moment now and go get yourself just a piece of bread or something to drink so that we might all be eating and drinking together. Because the key in sharing in the Lord's Supper, the key to this sacrament is doing it together. That all of us share in the same meal, in the same spirit, in the same grace. And this table, both virtually and in physical form, is all about the Spirit of God being present for all of us as we together remember what Jesus did and how Jesus lived for us. And so here at this virtual table, or when we gather together, If you are eager and yearning for that way of gracious community that Jesus taught, you are welcome at this table. So right now, I'm going to lead us through this shared meal, beginning with the great prayer of thanksgiving. If we were together, I would say, "The Lord be with you," and you would say, "And also with you." And I would say, "Lift up your hearts," and you would say, "We lift them up to the Lord." And I would say, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God," and you would say, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." And as we remember what Jesus did, we know that it is part of the great story told through all of Scripture, that God created us out of love and set us in this creation together, offering us the bounty and abundance of a perfect garden, and offering us the companionship of sharing life with one another. Given that great gift, God presented us with something that was fundamentally good and asked us only, "Don't eat of the knowledge of the fruit of evil. Just stay away from that and stay in the goodness and grace of this promised creation." And faced with that, we chose to step away from God's goodness. We chose to eat of the knowledge of evil, and we knew shame and we knew recrimination, and from our place of bitterness, we cast ourselves from the garden. We went out into the world, but God did not abandon us. God pursued us with covenant and prophets, laying before us the possibility of renewed, gracious life together. But presented with the call to justice of the prophets, we chose instead our preferred injustice, presented with the goodness of the covenant. We chose to reject it. And so God knew what was needed for us. God took it that step further, hearing our cry. And we cried to the Lord. We did. We cried out, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." We cried out to God, and we remember, as we do, what Jesus did. We remember his merciful care for us. We remember his teaching us and walking with us and caring for us. We remember all of those things. And we remember that he knew how far he would have to walk through this world of suffering with us. Because Jesus knew that just teaching us was not going to be enough. He would have to give his whole life for us. And he did. Remembering that, together we say, "Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again." And now, let's say a word of prayer. Gracious God, this is such a humble thing, a simple remembrance of bread and cup. And yet, as we partake of this or of whatever we have prepared in our own homes, we remember the presence of your Spirit. We remember your gracious creative power. We remember your love and care for all of us. And we ask through the gracious presence of your Spirit that all of the elements we now partake of together be blessed by the presence and grace and strength of your Holy Spirit. We offer up this prayer through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We know that all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. On the night before Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his friends in a room, and together they shared a meal, as was the custom of Christ's people. At the beginning of that meal, bread would be broken. And so that's what Jesus did. But as he took bread and broke it in their presence, he said to them, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you." And they took, and they ate. And when the meal was done, it was the custom of Christ's people to pour out one last cup of wine. And so Jesus did. But as he poured out that cup in their presence, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, remember me." And so, together, we drink and we remember. Let's have a final prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this meal and this time of sharing. We ask that you bless all of us with the grace of your Spirit and the knowledge of what it is to live in community with one another. Gracious Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Gather us, sustain us, and build us up as we seek to serve your Son in all that we do. Now we listen for that great prayer he offered all of us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That brings us now to the conclusion of this slightly choppy service as we've attempted to work our way through worship with one another. We know in this time as we gather that this is a challenging moment for all of us. And so as a community, we give thanks. Give thanks for the opportunity to be with one another, the opportunity to share together, the opportunity to show one another the grace and love of God. Remember, as the Acts of the Apostles reminds us of how we are to be together, living life in community and grace and kindness, sharing and caring for one another in all that we do. And so now I'll offer a few words of benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.